Good crowd this morning. Good crowd. It's always an exciting time of worship here at Grace Point. Every Sunday we meet, we're happy to be here, to celebrate God's blessings, to hear God's word to us, and to allow His Spirit to continue to grow us and change us. And I believe that's going to happen today. A couple of things, and we're going to pray and get started in our other worship time. First of all, I want to let you know that next week, I'll be preaching again. Sorry. I'll be back one more week anyhow. And I want to share with you what's been going on with me. It's quite a story. And not just with me, but with Libby. She's been a trooper. So, if you're interested, be here next week. And it won't just be a story about me, it's a story about God and about how He's worked and how He's continuing to work. Okay? If you don't want to hear it, come and listen anyhow or go somewhere else. But you won't find a better church than Grace Point. All right? I'll say that later. Let's pray together, okay? God, we thank You that You've allowed us to be here. Thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your grace. Words I know that we say a lot and pray a lot and preach a lot, but they mean something. Your goodness, Your love, Your forgiveness, Your grace. God, may You bless us. We know You are already here. May You encourage us, challenge us, convict us. Help us to grow. That individually and as Grace Point Church, we will forever do the work that You've called us to do. Now bless our time of worship as only You can. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Jason, I believe I need all the lyrics to all those songs for next week. Okay. Everyone that came up, I was like, I need that one, I need that one. So make sure you give them to me, okay? All right, buddy. Good, good, good. I'll sing them if you want. Jason's a smart man. I meant to tell you, too, a couple of things. First of all, we also have a baptism today. So we're looking forward to that later in the service. That's always an exciting time to see people come and give their lives to Christ and then follow Him in baptism or renew their commitment to God. So we're looking forward to that. Also, someone told me this morning that the children are beginning to learn their Christmas songs for the Christmas services coming up. So if you're a children and you want to go learn the songs, head on out this way, right back here. Okay? All right. So I want to ask you a question as we get started this morning, and that is this. What makes you smile? What makes you smile? Maybe hugging your husband, wife, your mom, dad, grandson, granddaughter, grandparent, your niece, your nephew. Maybe a puppy makes you smile. For some of you, it might be eating ice cream or fresh veggies on the grill or your favorite protein. Maybe it's celebrating another birthday. Some of you smile when you drink Starbucks. Starbucks, anything just makes you smile. Maybe it's spending time at the beach, holding hands with your significant other or with an older parent or grandparent. For the ladies, maybe it's getting your toenails painted. I went with Libby to get her toenails painted once. Never been before. I've never been back. When they started soliciting my feet, I said, no, that's not going to happen. Guys, maybe you smile when you have the opportunity to demolish something. Doesn't matter what it is, put a hammer in your hand and just go for it. Maybe listening to good music or singing in the shower. Maybe having your hair cooperate with you. Maybe having hair makes you smile. How about chocolate? I'll bet chocolate makes a lot of us smile. My next question is, first one was, what makes you smile? My next question is, what makes God smile? What makes God smile? If you have your outlines, you should have found one in your bulletin. Take those out. You can follow along this morning. What makes God smile? In Psalm 149, verse 4, it says this. The Bible says, "The Lord takes pleasure in his people." Now, those of you who are parents, grandparents, nieces, nephews, anyone who has a child, when you see your child or your children or your grandchildren, do you ever get pleasure watching them? Well, the answer is probably yes. And the same is true of your Heavenly Father. You were made to bring pleasure to God, to get God's smile in your life. There's a word which God uses that describes when we bring pleasure to God. The word is often misunderstood. It's the word worship. Now, let me give you a quick definition of worship. Worship is living a life pleasing to God. It's living a life pleasing to God. But now, what do you think when I say the word worship? Maybe some words like church, or music, or mass, ritual, ceremony, prayer, communion come to your mind when I say the word worship. But worship is not a ritual. Worship is not a ceremony. Both ritual and ceremony can be used to worship, but they are not in and of themselves worship. In fact, Jason, hang tight. Worship isn't even music. You okay, bud? Hang with me. Worship isn't even music. A lot of people think that the word worship is a synonym for worship, for music. It's like at our church, we do the worship first, and then we have the teaching. As if music is worshipful, but teaching is it? Jason, I count too. All right? That's what we're saying. Some people have said, I like the fast praise songs, but I really enjoy the worship songs better. In other words, if it's fast and loud, that's praise. But if it's slow and quiet, that's real worship. But that's not what God says. Worship has nothing to do with the style or the volume or the speed of any song. In Romans 12, verse 1, look what it says there. Because of God's great mercy, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. God says worship is not what you do with your lips, it's what you do with your life. You can sing all the songs in the world and listen to all the sermons in the world, but if you never offer your life to God, you haven't worshiped. Paul said this in Ephesians 5:10. Figure out what will please Christ and then do it. Figure out what would please Jesus, and then do it. Well, what brings pleasure to God? What makes God smile? If part of my purpose is to bring pleasure to God, how do I do that? Noah, the ark guy, gives us an example of how to make God smile. Matter of fact, look at Genesis 6, verse 8. The Bible says, Noah was a pleasure to the Lord. What did Noah do that made him such a pleasure to God? So I'm going to spend the rest of the message just giving you four ways that we can give pleasure to God, four ways that we can make God smile. Number one. We give God pleasure when we love him above all else. We can give God pleasure when we love Him above all else. When we love God above all else, when we love Him supremely, that brings God pleasure, and He smiles. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 says this, I don't want your sacrifice. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. That's God speaking. God says, I don't want your sacrifice. I want your love, your deep, personal love. I don't need your offerings. I want you to know me. Folks, if you miss that, you've missed the point of life. God wants a personal relationship with you. I know that sounds like over and abundant, amazing. How can God want a personal relationship with me? He's God, and I'm just me. He wants a personal relationship with you. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to love Him. And if we miss that, we miss the point of life. This is the first reason why God chose Noah. Noah had a relationship with God when nobody else did. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. The New Living Translation puts it this way. Noah consistently followed God's will and enjoyed a close relationship with Him. All Noah's life, all throughout his life, he loved God above everything else. He loved God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Paul says this, God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave Him great pleasure. God said, hey, I want a family. And you were made to be part of that family. You were made to be part of God's family. Not just for the next 50, 60, 80, 100 years when you live down here on earth, but for all eternity. And you do that, first of all, by saying, God, I want to love you more than anything else. I want to love you. When my three boys were small, when they were little, I got a thrill when I'd come home from work and I'd get down on my knees and they'd come running across the floor and just jump right into me. And I loved it. It brought me great joy. Now I get that thrill when my grands do that to me. Same thing. I get down on my knees. I just don't get up as quickly. And at their age, my grands don't understand allowance. So I know they're doing it out of pure love for me. They were loving me for just who I was. Your Heavenly Father feels the same way. When you come to God and say, God, I'm coming to you because you made me. God, I'm coming to you because you want me. God, I'm coming to you because I love you. I love you. That thrills the heart of God. That brings God great pleasure. When's the last time you made God smile by simply loving Him and showing Him your love, blessing Him for the blessings He's given to you? Maybe today, all of us here, and practice that. We give God pleasure when we love him above all else. Number two, we give God pleasure when we trust him completely. When we trust him completely. I think I get the love God better than I get the trust God. Sometimes it's just, I just figured, God, I can handle this. Famous last words, right? God, I can handle this. I've got this. Everything's under control. Look at Psalm 147, verse 11. The Bible says, the Lord takes pleasure in those who honor him and who trust in his constant love. Trusting in God brings pleasure to God. Noah trusted God completely. He had incredible faith. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 7. The Message translation puts it this way. By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see, and he acted on something he was told, and his act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the righteous of the believing world. As a result, Noah came intimate with God. He had a close, glowing, warm, trusting, loving relationship with God. And remember that God told Noah to build this boat before it ever rained. Noah didn't complain. Would you have complained? You're hitting all those nails, trying to get all those woods lined up and making sure you have the right wood because God put different woods there and you're supposed to do this. And there's not even a sprinkle. Anybody here want to confess that you'd been a little miffed about that? How many would have thrown their hammer? Anybody? I said, oh, really? Wow, I didn't expect that. I know who not to sit next to. God told Noah, build a boat. It never rained. Noah didn't complain. He didn't argue. He didn't say, but God, but God, but God. He trusted God. He trusted God completely. Now, what does it mean to trust God completely? It means you trust God to know what's best. God, you know better than I do what's best for my life, so I'm going to trust you. It means you trust God to answer your prayers in his timing. You trust God to keep his promises. You trust God to figure out how to handle the impossible things in your life. And you trust God to do the impossible when things look overwhelming to you. Ever been overwhelmed? I told you to come back next week. You're going to hear a story about being overwhelmed. And a story about God. Psalm 50, verse 14. The psalm writer puts it this way. I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. Trust God. He wants to restore you so you can thank him. Sounds like a good habit to get into. Sometimes we don't trust God because we don't realize how big he is. It's so easy to forget how great, how powerful, how huge God is. We have a tendency to shrink God down to our size. We whittle him down. There should be a movie called Honey, I Shrunk My God. How do you know your God is too small in your life? Because when you have problems, you don't go to him. You may go to a friend. You may go to a neighbor. You may listen to some self-help tapes on the computer. Nothing inherently wrong with any of them. But if you do that instead of God first, then you get yourself in trouble. Some of us need to go back to God and say, God, I want you to be magnified in my eyes because I've made you too small in my life. I've limited you by my lack of faith. God smiles when we love him supremely and we trust him completely. We give God pleasure when we love him above all else. We give God pleasure when we trust him completely. And number three, we give God pleasure when we obey him wholeheartedly. When we obey him wholeheartedly. James chapter 2, verse 24 says this, we please God by what we do and not only by what we believe. James isn't talking about earning your way to heaven, earning your way into the family of God, not a bit. But it's more than what we believe. We can believe every truth in the Bible. We can believe every theological inch of what all the great writers in the Bible say. We believe all of that. That's great. That's good. That's a starting point. But if you don't do with God, for God, then God says, it doesn't count. It's worthless. It's not knowing only. It's knowing and doing. And if you know anybody who knows a lot, maybe around the house, maybe building something, maybe in the kitchen, maybe around boats, they just know a lot. And they like to show off their knowledge. But when it comes time to actually put their hands to work, they're just walking away somewhere. They show you, they tell you everything they know, and they do nothing. God says we have to know, but we have to do. We have to do. When we do what God wants us to do, it brings pleasure to him. Noah was a great example of wholehearted obedience. Look at chapter 11, verse 7. It says, Noah obeyed and built a boat. And then in Genesis 6:22, it says, Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him. So when God said, I want you to build the ark, he said that to Noah. Noah didn't just build any boat. There were a lot of models he could have built a whole lot easier than the ark. But Noah built the ark to its exact specifications that God gave to him. He obeyed God wholeheartedly. What's it mean to obey God wholeheartedly? It means you obey him without reservations. You hold nothing back. You trust him. When God says do it, you do it. No reservations, no hesitations. Wholehearted obedience means no procrastination. How many of you are procrastinators? So you're procrastinating now. You're not putting your hand up quickly. You're waiting to see who else is putting theirs up. Wholehearted obedience to God means no procrastination. Noah didn't delay. He didn't think, God, I'll think about it. He didn't say, I'll do it later, God. Any parent knows that delayed obedience is really disobedience. If you tell your kids to come down and clean the kitchen now, and they say, I'm going to be there in about 5 minutes, that's disobedience. God may have told you all kinds of things. When you say, God, I'm thinking about it, That's disobedience. God wants you to do what he wants you to do instantly and completely, wholeheartedly, with joy and enthusiasm. That was the attitude of David. Look at Psalm 119, verse 33. The Bible says, "Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it, Lord. As long as I live, I'll wholeheartedly obey." David is exhibiting the attitude that God wants all of us to have. And when we have that attitude and we carry out the work God wants us to carry out, guess what? It puts a smile on God's face. When we say, from this day forward, the number one thing in my life is going to be the smile of God, which means I'm going to obey everything he tells me to do, no matter what. When we give God pleasure, we give God pleasure when we love him above all else. We give God pleasure when we trust him completely. We give God pleasure when we obey him wholeheartedly. And number four, we give God pleasure when we fulfill his purposes. God's smile in our lives, and he smiles in our life when we fulfill the purposes that he put us on this earth for. In Genesis 9:1, after the flood is over and the ark has landed and they're getting out of the boat, it says, "Then God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.'" God says, "Here's what I want you to do now. I want you to go have relations with your wife, your spouse, raise families, do the things I've created humans to do." He's telling Noah, basically, "Noah, be human." Do you realize that about us? I don't know why sometimes we think that God put us up here and we can't just do these things. We have to do these and we're on another level. Listen, folks, God created you as a human being. Be human and enjoy it. You're not made to be something that you're not. And he tells Noah, take pleasure in what you do, bring me pleasure by being human and doing the human stuff that I've created you to do. And this is very, very important, because a lot of us think that the only time God is smiling on our lives is when we're doing something religious. As I'm doing something religious, he really smiles on me. Dude, he smiles on you when you get up in the morning and you haven't even brushed your teeth yet. For instance, right now in the middle of our worship service, you think God is pleased because you're sitting in church listening to a message, listening to some songs. But after church, when you go to Laha, then God frowns. No, that's not true. God smiles when you eat cheap imitation Mexican food. He told me so. God loves you to be the human being he made for you to be. All we need to do is fulfill the purposes that God created us for. It reminds me of that Olympic runner, Eric Liddell. They made a movie about him decades ago called Chariots of Fire. Some of you may have seen that movie. Eric Liddell said this in the movie, and this was a true story about his life. Eric Liddell said this: "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." Eric said, "When I do what God created me to do, and I run, I feel God's pleasure. What can you say? When I walked and I feel God's pleasure. Those things may change throughout your life, but there should still be some things that you know when you do, you feel God's pleasure. Whatever God has wired you to be, whatever God has wired you to do, do it. Be it. And feel God's pleasure. God takes enjoyment in you. You make God smile when you do it. Look at Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives. You realize God wants to delight in every detail of your life? Every detail. Whenever you use any talent or ability that God gave you and you do it for God's glory, it's an act of worship and God smiles at you. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. It says, God takes particular pleasure in acts of worship, a different kind of sacrifice that takes pleasure in the kitchen and the workplace and on the streets. I love this. I love it. God takes particular pleasure in what? Worship? Different kinds of sacrifice that take place in the kitchen, the workplace, and on the streets. Did you realize that in the kitchen, in the workplace, and on the streets, you make God smile as much as when you're here in church? If you're doing what God wants you to do. I love this verse. Look at John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the crisis we're in. God's light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. But God is on the lookout for people like me and you to share that good news with people who haven't seen it yet. Psalm 14, verse 2. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who are wise, any who want to please God. Will you be that person? Will you be the person who says, God, I'm going to be a modern day Noah. I'm going to live my life for you, for your smile. I'm going to live my life in such a way that it brings pleasure to you, so you smile. When you do that, God is going to bless you tremendously. You may think, where am I going to get the power to do that? What if I fail? What if I make a commitment to God and then go back on it? What if I blow it? If you're going to blow it, and then you're going to blow it again, then you're going to get right, and then blow it. God accounted for that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately The one who invited us to God, the one who invited us to God is his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus gives us that invitation first to make a commitment to him, to become a believer, to become a Christian, to become saved. He gives us himself. He died on the cross. We come to God through Jesus. But did you know Jesus, when he gave you the opportunity to be saved, that wasn't the last time that he gave you an opportunity to get right with God. You're right for all eternity if you make a commitment to Christ. That doesn't mean you're always going to get it right. And when you don't get it right, Jesus can make it right. We will blow it. And God says, I will provide the power for you to please me through my Son, Jesus Christ. I invite you today to live your life for the pleasure of God. Make God smile. Remember, we give God pleasure when we love him above all else. We give God pleasure when we trust him completely. We give God pleasure when we obey him wholeheartedly. And we give God pleasure when we fulfill his purposes. Now, we're going to have an invitation here. The band's going to come on up and play a song. We can sing. We can just listen. You stand if you want. You can stay seated. Maybe you want to come over to the table and write some things that need to be corrected in your life. And if you do that, God's going to smile. If you'd like to take communion today, you can do that. There's a station in the back there, here, and one down front. You can come and take communion. Janine and I will be down front if you want to come and talk with us and pray with us. We'll be glad to do that with you and for you. Let's find a way to make God smile, even now. Okay? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you even give us the opportunity to make you smile, because we know we fall very short from pleasing you from time to time. Thank you, Jesus, that you came into the world, you died on the cross for our sins, and because of what you did, we can forever have opportunities to come back to you and to the Father. Now, God, help us to begin or to renew living our lives in such a way that they bring pleasure to you. Do that for us now. God, bless our invitation time. Help people to walk and be where they need to be, to do what they need to do during this time. And we'll praise you and bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, just a few quick announcements before we leave today. Don't forget, next Saturday, we're having our oyster roast. On the 11th from 2 to 6. Bring your oyster knives, gloves, towels, anything that you personally may need. And also next Sunday, we're taking the Christmas boxes back up. So please bring your boxes already packed up and ready to go. Jonathan?
Yeah, just one real quick. If you are a single adult like I am, we are having a single life conference over at a church at Mount Pleasant called the Church at Life Park. A group I'm involved in over there is putting on a conference in 2 weeks. I think that's the 17th and 18th on Friday evening and Saturday morning. So if you're a single adult, you know, it's about Christian living and even dating, keeping it Christ-centered. If you're interested, see me, and I'll tell you more about it. Okay? Thanks.
All right, let's stand up and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know you're smiling today. Watching these folks get baptized, it's just an amazing thing to be a part of. And I want to thank you for loving us and giving us the opportunity to be more like you every day. I pray all of us are more convicted to find ways to make you smile and live more to be like Jesus. Lord, bless us as we leave here today. Fill us with your Spirit so we can have a productive week and we can come back next week and worship again. Lord, we love you and we ask all this in your name. Amen.